Okay, so that is one idea. That is one idea for the Haggadah. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Why do we commemorate the Geula with four cups of wine? So we mentioned similarly, let's say, but why one? Why not take four apples? Eat four apples, eat four fruits, or eat four pieces of bread. What's the significance of serving, of eating, of celebrating dafka with four cups of wine? So this is a very beautiful idea, it's a very short idea. Yayin has a cumulative effect. If you eat four pieces of fruit, there's no difference between fruit number four and fruit number one. Okay, your appetite is not as great when you come to number four as when you come to number one, but it's all the same. Yayin builds on itself. The effect, the cumulative effect of four cups of wine is very great. Each cup of wine builds upon the experience of cup one, number one, number two, number three. It's here to teach us a lesson that the four lashonos of Geula are not independent expressions. It's not this v'hoitzesi, and this v'hitzalti, this v'go'alti, v'lokachti. The v'hoitzesi is the cumulative effect of v'hoitzesi, v'hitzalti. The go'alti is not just a go'alti, it's the cumulative effect of v'hoitzesi, v'hitzalti, v'go'alti. V'lokachti eschem li la'om, being part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're mine. You're only mine because there was a v'hoitzesi, there was the hitzalti, there was a go'alti, v'lokachti. Of course, you have to develop this further, you have to explain what is the significance of each one of these four steps. But the point is, just like yayin is something which each cup of wine builds upon the previous cup of wine, each one of the lashonos of Geula is not independent. Each one of the lashonos of Geula builds upon the previous expressions of Geula. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea. We have the inyan of stealing the afikoinen. Why do we steal the afikoinen? So there are a number of very interesting reasons. One reason is that we know that the brachos of Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov. Yaakov stole the bracha from Esav. The event took place Pesach, and that's why, according to Rashi, tells us that the reason why he brought him gidi izim, he brought him two animals. One was for Karban Pesach, one was for the Chagiga. It was the night of Pesach, and part of the chachma ba'achicha b'mirma vayikach b'chasecha. He ate the afikomen, and once Yaakov fed Yitzchak the afikomen, it was too late for Yitzchak to eat the mat'amim of Esav, because ein ma'aftinach ha'pesach afikomen, once the afikomen, not like anything else. So that's the mirma. The time when Yaakov stole the brachos from Esav was the night of the Seder, and it was the derech remiza, it was gezel, it was trickery. Therefore, as a zecher for what has happened, we reenact this. The brachas go to Yaakov, not to Esav, also through a token reminder of the child steals the afikoman. That's one reason that'll have to be very something a little bit different, a little interesting. Another interesting idea I came across is everything we do at the night of the Seder was a zecher. What happened at the night of Mitzrayim? It says in the pasuk. Dog did not bark. Why dogs? When do they know? What are the purpose of dogs? What's the purpose of dogs, and why do they bark? So Gemara tells us the primary function of a dog is a shomer. No one should come and rob your home. The Gemara says that if you live in a city and there are no dogs, not a good idea. Don't live in a city where there are no dogs, because if there are no dogs, full of ganavim. No one is holding back ganavim from stealing. The night of Yitzias Mitzrayim will chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shonam. That means you can steal. There's nothing holding back the ganavim from robbing. The reason why the minig is the child should steal the afikomen is this is a reminder of ulchol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shonam. Because dogs and geneva go hand in hand. When there are no dogs, there's Geneva. We are reminded of the miracle of the dogs not barking through this simple act of playing with the child and having him steal the afikoman. Okay, another idea why we steal the afikoman. By the way, it's not necessarily steal. I mean, Is it stealing, not stealing? It's very big controversial. If you allow the mechanech a child to steal, it's a terrible thing. There's a lot of discussion that this is not such a simple minhag to teach a child to steal, especially the holy night of the Seder. How can you mechanech? So it's not really stealing. It's snatching. Okay, yeah, it has to be properly understood that it's not gezela. Okay, but there is another variant. What do we do when we take the afikum? We put the afikum away for we take a piece of the afikum, we put it away for later, and we eat it during the time of tzofen. The time we know all the simanim, kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, magid, rotz, mosi, matza, karech, shulchan, erech, and we come at the end. We come to borech. Tzofon, we come Tzofon and Borech. Tzofon comes to a Borech. We have Tzofon. When we take the matzah, we break away here for the matzah, the achatz, we put it away for Tzofon. Mashiach can come in one of two ways: Beita and Achishena. Beita is pasuk. Beita Achishena. If we merit, the Mashiach will come before Achishena. Hashem will hasten the Gula. Will come before its time. If we do not merit Beita, there's a predestined time when Mashiach will come in the year 6000, whatever that means. There's a time limit when Mashiach has to come. Beita Achishena. Tzofon represents Beita. It represents the time when Mashiach will come if we do not merit in bringing Mashiach before its time. Tzofon. This is it's geula. It's the Karban Pesach. When we eat the mat, the afikum, we're eating the Karban Pesach. It represents the zman of geula. When we take the matzah, we break the matzah, and we grab the matzah, we steal the matzah. In essence, what we're doing is we're being mevakesh to hasten the geula. We don't want to wait. The matzah that's being set aside for the afikum is tzofa. Right, the father, he breaks the matzah, he puts it aside for tzofa. He puts it on the table, he wraps it up, it's on the table. This is set aside for tzofa. This is the geula. When the father walks out, he turns around, the child grabs the matzah. He takes the matzah for himself now. In essence, what he's doing is, I don't want to wait for the geula to come in its predestined time at the end of days. I want it to come now. Achishena. I want to hasten the geula. So choytum es hamatzah, stealing the afikomen, in essence, is the bakasha that the Mashiach should, we don't have to wait for tzofon for Mashiach to come at the end of days. It should come prematurely in earlier times.
More around two kosher, it's a non-tum.
Okay, another fourth idea of why we put away, why we steal the matzah, choytum es matzah. It's not really to steal, it's to hide the matzah because we're ashamed. The afikomen is in lieu of the Karban Pesach. It's embarrassing. Last year at the end of the Seder we said Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. We mevakesh that by next year for sure, without question, a year from now, for sure Mashiach will come, will be in Eretz Yisrael, will be in the Karban Pesach. And here we are again, a year later, nothing has changed, Mashiach has not come, and we still don't have the real Karban Pesach. We only have a Zecher, the afikomen. It's embarrassing. It's a shame. It's something which is a disgrace. Therefore, when we break yachatz, we put away the matzah for afikomen, we steal it. We take it away from the table and we put it in hiding as an expression of embarrassment and shame that, look, a whole year has passed and we have accomplished nothing. So I've given you really four ideas for the idea of afikomen, why we steal the matzahs. Number one is, let's review the four ideas. It's a zecher for Yaakov stealing the brachos from Yitzchak, stealing them away from Esav. Number two, it's chaytvin, is we are want to hasten the geula. Number three, ulukol b'nei Yisrael yechratz kelev l'shono. And number four, we are ashamed that Mashiach has not come. The afikomen serves in place of the Karban Pesach, and here we are a year later, and we still don't have the Karban Pesach. We're still just making believe with a piece of matzah. It's embarrassing. We don't want this embarrassment to appear on the table the entire Seder. We have to put it away and hide it somewhere discreet. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this is an idea. This is the end of the Haggadah. We say, "Kain Hashem lekainu yagiyenu." I don't have an Haggadah in front of me. I'm trying to recall from memory. Kain Hashem lekainu yagiyenu lo'adim acherim. The same way we have celebrated this Yom Tov of Pesach, may we merit that Hashem should bring us to mo'adim acherim, other mo'adim, just like this. The question is, what other mo'adim are we referring to? Ein chodesh tachas Hashemesh, the mo'adim, the shalosh regalim, Rashani Yom Kippur, everything is set in place. What are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should bring us to other new mo'adim that we do not yet have? So one very interesting answer, the answer I saw, and we know that whatever day, the day of the week which Yom Tov Pesach falls will be the same day of the week when Tisha B'Av will fall Chodesh Av. It's the same day of the week. There's a correlation between Pesach, the first night of Pesach, and Tisha B'Av. The same, this year Pesach falls on Shabbos. That means that Tisha B'Av will fall on Shabbos, being that we don't observe Tisha B'Av, so we push it off. It's a nitcha, we push off Tisha B'Av until Sunday, but really Tisha B'Av would fall on Shabbos. There's a relationship. Why is there a relationship? Because, as we mentioned before, Pesach is bittersweet. On the one hand, we recall the Geula, we celebrate this, that we have been redeemed, but also it came at a great expense. There were many korbanos that were lost in Mitzrayim. Many people died and suffered. Avodas perach. Golas, it was bitter. Mara, we eat mara. Shemara es chayim, avodah kasha. Kol abein hayilun hayoret hashlichu. It's a bittersweet celebration. The Chassam Sofer says that there was a tradition. Okay, I don't know where this is brought down, but the Chassam Sofer says this. That every year in the 210 years of Jewish people living in Mitzrayim, the 15th day of Nisan was observed just like we today observe Tisha B'Av. Just like every single year we go on the ninth day of Av, we mourn Zavelos, the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, all of the sorrows of Klal Yisrael are mourned for on the day of Tisha B'Av, the 210 years that the Jewish people living in Mitzrayim, when it came the 15th day of Nisan, they observed the day of Tisha B'Av. What does that mean? Because it was the beginning of Golus. And it was on this day, the 15th day of Tisha B'Av, the Shivim Nefesh of Yaakov Avinu entered Mitzrayim. That was the tradition. When we know that Yocheved was born by Nachemos, the day that the 70 members of the family of Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim, they entered Egypt, was the 15th day of Nisan. And obviously this was not a happy event, that they left Canaan, they left Eretz Yisrael due to the famine, to come to a foreign land, to be here away from their homeland. And as time passed, things got worse and worse, till ultimately they were enslaved, and there was 86 years of servitude. It was observed, this was the beginning of our gods. And what happened? It was on that very day, the 15th day of Nisan, that was observed as a day of mourning because it was the beginning of their Golus Mitzrayim, was Nishapech, was transformed into a Yom Tov for all generations, the Yom Tov of Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, what we are being mevakesh at the end of the Haggadah, Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagyenu L'Moadim Acherim, other Moadim that are similar to Pesach, what we mean to say is that Tisha B'Av will also one day be transformed into a Yom Tov. Just like this day of Pesach, once upon a time, for 210 years, was a day that was absorbed as a national day of mourning to commemorate this, that we are slaves in Egypt and we suffer. All began on the 15th day of Nisan, and yet it was transformed into a day of Simcha, of Halal, the Hoidah, with a Seder, the time will come when Mashiach will come, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and the day of Tisha B'Av will be transformed into a day of celebration. So that is the correlation between that is what we mean when we conclude the Haggadah, Yagienu L'Moadim Acherim, other Moadim that are just like the Yom Tov Pesach. And a similar idea, Matzah in the Torah is called Lechem Oni, but it's also called, it commemorates Ki B'Chipazon Yotzah Sami Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Mefarshim says something very interesting. Now, why do we eat matzah? We eat matzah for two reasons. For 86 years, when the Jewish people were slaves, the Egyptians gave them a lunch break. They gave them flour and water and told them, you want to have lunch? Go, have lunch. Here's some flour and water. Go make yourself some bread. There's an oven. Go to the oven. And then they prepared the dough. They put the dough in the oven. And before they had a chance to let the dough rise, the Egyptians blew the whistle. Time is up. Get back to work. They did not allow the Jewish people enough time. They did not give them 18 minutes for lunch to allow the dough to rise so they can have bread for lunch. The break from labor to rest and eat was so short, they only had enough time to bake matzos and not bake bread. And this was a very great sign for the Jewish people. This was symbolic of their suffering. All the years of servitude, and say we live in the modern world, so it's hard for us to imagine, if a person is a prisoner and he's working in some slave camp, so they provide crackers and food, they'll provide the workers with food, whatever they'll give you. And that's not the way it was in Egypt. In Egypt, they didn't provide the slaves with food. They provide them with flour. They gave them a few minutes to have a break. You want to have a break? Okay, have a break. Here's some flour and water. Go make for yourself a meal. If you give me an hour, so we can make bread. We can let the bread rise. It takes 18 minutes to allow the dough to rise. We can put it in the oven. We'll have what to eat. No, we're not giving you an hour for lunch. We're giving you 10 minutes for lunch. 10 minutes, they take the wheat and flour, they knead it together, make a dough, put it in the hot oven, turns into a cracker, and they eat the cracker in 2 minutes, and they're finished. Within 10 minutes, they're back to work. They never had time to allow the dough to rise because the breaks from the slave labor were so short. And this became a symbol for the avodas perach. They're so wicked. The Egyptians are so cruel. They're so wicked. They don't even give us a few minutes to take a break to let our bread rise. That was the symbol. It was etched into their souls, this harshness, this cruelty, this slave labor mentality. What happened? 86 years later, at the end of the 200 years of being in Mitzrayim, at the end of 400 years, and from the time of 430 years from the time of Leda Sivak, it's time to go. There's an announcement. Pyro set out. All Jews leave immediately. Immediately, we're dying. The firstborns are dying. There's a plague. There's something going on here. Out, run. So the Jews said, "What do you mean? We have to prepare food. Seder la derech." Okay, so you want seder la derech, so go bake your bread. Take the flour, take the water, go make for yourself provisions for the road. They started to prepare the dough. They wanted bread for the road. No, we're not giving you an hour to prepare gourmet meals. Leave, we'll give you 10 minutes to prepare, to use the ovens to prepare the dough, to get out of here. And they had no choice but to make the dough into matzah. But here, it struck them. Look what's happening. Here, we don't have enough time to prepare bread. We're only given enough time to prepare matzah. We only have 10 minutes until we leave. And here it's a preparation of simcha. Because we're leaving. We're finally leaving. We're free. We're b'nei chayrin. We can go into Eretz Yisrael. It struck them, the contrast. The contrast. For 86 years, they tortured us. We had no choice to rush, and make the dough into matzah because of the slave labor mentality, the time pressure. And here, the same thing is happening, but it's happening mitach simcha, ki b'chipazon, in haste, they were driven out of Egypt. This is the dual nature of the matzah. When you eat the matzah, lechem oini, on the one hand it's lechem oini, but that same lechem oini, see, it's not just it's a lechem oini and it's kibichi pazon. You have to put yourself in the frame of mind of the slaves of the people who actually left Mitzrayim. When they ate that bread when they left Mitzrayim, it was matzah, but it wasn't just matzah. They were amazed at the hashkocha pratis that look. Now we're eating that same matzah that's been baked in haste. The same way we were forced to quickly prepare our provisions when we were slaves. It's not just, it was chametz, it was matzah that was given crackers to the slaves, and there was matzah on the 11th Shabbat, two separate things, and we commemorate both. No! Put yourself in the frame of mind of the average Jew who left Mitzrayim. He was overwhelmed with this contrast. Wow, yesterday I was rushed, they were beating me, they were whipping me, and I had no choice to quickly make my dough into matzah because I only had 10 minutes, and in 10 minutes you only can make matzah, you can't make bread. And here I'm doing the same thing, but I'm doing the same thing because I'm leaving. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. It was something that struck them, which woke them up. They saw the Hashkacha practice. Kiva Dovar Hashem Zodu Aleim. Just like Hashem Baruch Hu, He always punishes Mida Kneged Mida. Everything Hashem Baruch Hu does, Hashem Baruch Hu does together. Mida Kneged Mida. Punishment and reward, and the whole Geula process, the process of Mida Kneged Mida. You suffered with matzah. Now you're going to be redeemed with matzah. Let me go to another idea. Now let's talk about this beautiful idea. I used to tell this to my father. My father loved this idea. My father was one of the rachis. He always used to say this. I had to say there. I heard this from my rebbe Rabbi Belsky Shlita many years ago. And the first time I heard him speak about Pesach, he mentioned this. I said this over 100 times to different people. If you look at the average Haggadah, I challenge you to go home, take out all your Haggadahs, go into Eichler's, Beagle, Zindel Berman, they have their Haggadahs, 1,000 Haggadahs. Open up the Haggadah, and all the new Haggadahs, they have the Simonim printed. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Rochza, Motzi Matzah, so on and so forth. And they print the word Kadesh, right before you begin Kiddush. They print the word Urchatz right before you wash. They print the word Karpas right before it says to make the brach. They print the word Morar before you do Morar. They print the word Motzi Matzah, Shulchan Aruch, Baruch, Tzafa, Nirtza, so on and so forth. In the old Haggadahs, they didn't necessarily print the words. It would cost a lot of money, every word. It cost a lot. Before everyone became a desktop publisher, it cost money to print the plates, to print the words. Where does the word Magid appear in the Haggadah? You look in any Haggadah, the word Magid appears before Holach Ma'anya. So that means Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. You break the middle matzah, yachatz. Okay, finished. Break the middle matzah. You put back. One half goes in the plate, and the larger half, the smaller half goes right. The smaller half, I'm forgetting that. The smaller half goes back with the three matzahs, and the larger half goes into the matzah. And you turn around, and the child comes and snatches it away. Fine, you've done yachatz. Oh. Magid! We're now up to Magid. What is in Haggadah? Oh! Holach ma'anya diachola avo sona bi'arid mitzrayim kol dichvin yesev yitzach. Right? We recite Magid begins with Holach ma'anya. Holach ma'anya is a very difficult section of Haggadah for many reasons. First of all, what is this all about? You're inviting guests. It's a little bit too late to invite guests, right? It's a little bit, the door's already closed and locked and bolted. Now you first wake up, you want to invite guests. Also, why is it in Aramaic? The whole Haggadah is in Lashon Kodesh, Aramaic. A million questions. We're not going to go into all of these things. But Magid begins with Holach Ma'anya. And then Kan HaBen Shoyal, after you say Holach Ma'anya, Moizgin Kois, you fill up the Kois Sheni. Oh, we fill the Kois Sheni, Kan HaBen Shoyal, Man Ishtana. And that takes at least 2 hours. Right? So that takes Akane Ben Shal, all the different variations and all the different children have their show. Wonderful. So Rabelsky says, if you look in the old Haggadahs, nowhere in the old, talking about the old Haggadahs, does the word Magid appear before the words Holach Ma'anya. Magid begins with Manishtag. So what then is Holach Ma'anya? Holach Ma'anya is part of Yachatz. When you break the matzah, you don't just break the matzah. There is an amira. There is something that you say that accompanies the breaking of the matzah. You break the matzah and you express in sorrow, Holach Ma'anya. Ma ani beplusa. Just like an ani eats a plusa, an ani can't afford to buy a full loaf of bread. He only can afford to buy the broken leftovers left in the oven, the plusa. You break the matzah, yachatz. You break the matzah, and then you say, chaval, ho lachma anya. It's the zelba lachma anya, the achola of a son of the Aradim. You say in Aramaic. It answers, you have to develop all the ideas, and it answers all the kashas. All the kashas that you're going to hear by your Seder, they're going to come, and you're going to hear some people darshing about yachatz, why this. All the questions are answered with the yesoid that halach manya is part of yachatz. It's not part of magid. Magid begins after moizgin koyesheni, kan haben shoyel, when the child begins to ask manishan. That's the beginning of magid. And on your own, you will see everything fits into place. However, it's not min goylam. Because if you go, this he claims was a printer's mistake. A printer, Amoritz didn't know what he was doing, so he figured Magid, where does Magid start? When you start saying the first Hebrew words in Agada, that's where Magid, so he put a Magid, and somehow one mistake led to another mistake, and before we turned around and became the Minhag Yisrael, if you go in today to any bookstore, you will see that every single Agada, B'lih Shum Yitzim and Akal, it says Magid before you begin the word Solach Ma'anya. He is of the opinion that this is a mistake. This is a tohus that crept into our Haggadahs, and if you look back in the old Haggadahs, there's no such thing that Magid begins with Holach Ma'anya. Holach Ma'anya is a chelik of yachatz. We expressed last year, we concluded Lashona Hababi Rishaloyim, we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be Mashiach, we're going to eat the matzah in the Raisal Matzah, Melem Yachlu, together with the Korban Pesach, and here we are, we break the middle matzah, Holach Ma'anya, it's the Zelba Lach Ma'anya of last year, nothing has changed, we say in Aramaic, because Aramaic is the Nusach of Golos, it's not Lashon HaKodesh, it's an expression of frustration. When you break something, when are you breaking? When you're violent. You ever get angry? You ever get angry? Everyone here is so calm. You have to get angry in life. You get angry, you get frustrated. You get violent. You break the matzah. You're frustrated. And how do you express your frustration? Ho lach ma'anya. It's the same lach ma'anya. Nothing changed in the whole year. Ends all the kashas. The ayin into this scene. Okay, let's go to another vart. Okay, let me tell you some Satmar Torah. I have a sefer. Satmar Torah is gvaldig stuff. Let me tell you some short, very, very short ideas. Why do you break the middle matzah? Why the middle matzah? Why does Levi get the raw deal? Koyein, they have three, everyone has three matzahs, right? I mean, there's different opinions, but basically, most of us were brainwashed to have three matzahs. Everything we do, you should know, there are millions of minhagim who do not like what we do. But we grow up in a certain society, so we do things a certain way, and if someone tells you to do it differently, like what? But we have Koyein Levi Yisrael, right? That's what it says on the Levi is the middle matzah, the Koyein is the first matzah, and the bottom matzah is the Yisrael. Which matzah gets broken? On which matzah do we take out our frustration? On which matzah do we express violence? The middle matzah, the Levi. Poor Levi. What do you want from the Levi? What did he do to you, the Levi?
He was exempt from the Shiva.
What?
He was exempt from the
Shiva. Okay, that's the approach. There's a Mahalach, absolute Mahalach. So the Satmar Rav says something. I'm not sure it's a Satmar, I think it's a Satmar Rav. He says something that's very powerful. He says, no, the Kohanim, the cloud, you know, Yisrael, they committed a pretty big sin. Chero Egel, serious business. Kohanim, were they part with, that was a part of Shiva Levi. I'm a little confused. I have to review all the details. But he says, you know, it wasn't so bad. They rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch. I mean, I can't say it was so bad. It was a terrible thing. Okay, they sinned. They were punished. They did tshuva. Lucha Shlios. Okay. But there was a maisa in the Chumash Bamidbar called Korach. Korach l'chol adosa. Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. Kolam kulam kedosh. Umadur tisnasu alkahalash. Who is this Aaron? Moshe, who did you appoint? Aaron, the Kohanim? Who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu? I could also be a Moshe Rabbeinu. He rebelled. He had 400 men. He caused a great churban. Korach. Grois Suchim, to challenge the authority of the Rav. Hashem had to make a bria, things we find in the punishment for the Anshei Korach that break all the rules of all the midrashim of what you're allowed to do in creation, how the world works, because the rishis, the avla, the machloikis of Korach was so great, it was such a stain in Klal Yisrael, it was greater in many ways than the eagle and the meraglim. It was a term because those things were rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, you rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, I mean, not alright, it's a terrible, terrible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, he's very forgiving, he understands we have a Yetzirah. But when there's machlekes among us, especially when there's machlekes against the authority of Klal Yisrael among us, this is a churban davar sheni yochal l'sagin. Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi. The one that gets the brunt of the violence at the Seder is Levi. Because Sheva Levi is responsible for Korach. And therefore, we have to break a matzah, we have to show that we're in Golos, and there's a prusa, there's lechem oini, midarka shol prusa, and oni, klal shol's begeder, and oni, and Golos, and tsaris, it's machlekes. It's the rishis of the challenge of, to the authority of Klal Yisrael among us, the vision, that's Sheva Levi. And therefore, Sheva Levi, we have this hakar by breaking the middle matzah. Okay, let me give you another idea. There are Dal Banan. This is a very short idea, Dal Banan. I find this to be, it's very true. It's a sharp word. It's a posh thing. There are four Banan. Echad Chacham, Echad Rosha, Echad Tom, Vi Echad She'eni. I'll just tell you a joke. Before I'll just tell you a joke. This is off the record. There was once a Rebbe. He wanted to see how his chassid and how their noyeg sit. So he deliberately delayed going home. He finished davening. They said hallel. They didn't say hallel. Whatever they did, and everyone went home. And he slowly walked home. He wanted to pass by all the homes of the chassidim and look in the window and see how their noyeg there sit. So he saw certain chassidim, very nice. He came up to the home of one of the amaratzim, partial of people who didn't know anything. And he saw he was up to the arba banim, and he went and he saw the balabas. He stopped and he went, echad chacham, echad rasha. He put his hands over his eyes, and he was marich on the ches. Just like you saw Simarach on the Ches and the Dalet, Echad, Hashem is the Melech on the eighth heaven, on all four corners of the earth. So he said, but this Pashal of Halavas did, it was Mesaki and Olamas. Okay, this is okay, what does it mean? He made a whole drasha to he did it out of ignorance, but he made a whole beautiful drasha. But the point I want to make of is, why do we say Echad? We should say this, Echad is a Chacham. Not Echad, Rishon is the Chacham. The Sheni is the Rosh, the Shlishi is the Tam, and the Revi is the She'eno Yodel Lishol. Right, there are four Banim, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Not 1, 1, 1, 1. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. A simple question, right? What's going on here? Ech Rishon, not even Echad is not really the good word. You should be Rishon Chacham Sheni. So Teretz is, it's the same child. Same child. Person should never think. Okay, I don't have children, but not yet at least. But people shouldn't think, this child is good, hands off, everything is good. The same child goes through different tkufas. It's the same child, the echad child, that's the chacham, there are tkufas in his life where he can be a rasha. And that same child will go through tkufas where he is a tam. And that child can be a she'en ayudel lishma. The same child's echad, it's echad chacham, and that same echad can be a rosh. So parents, watch out. When you're teaching your children, don't just, oh, he's a chacham, I don't have to pay attention. Be careful. You have to make sure nothing, guard him, nothing should chas v'shalom go where he should become into a matzav of chacham. And there are times in life where he can be foolish. He can be a tam. You have to be mechanech the child. He He should not become a tam. Yafti mechanech the child that he should not be a she'ena yodei lishal. It's the same child. K'neged arbo banim dibur Torah. It means the arbo banim in the single ben. In the single ben, the same echad. It's a very powerful var. A very powerful var in the oilm of chinuch. Why is the second one the chacham? Another satma var. Why is the second one the chacham? Everyone says this far. Not only Yuchad the satma. Why does the second one the Rasha? The Rasha is the last, right? Chacham, this the Chacham. Then we should have the Tam, the Sheina, the Rasha. Put the Rasha at the end. Eretz says, if you put the Tam next to the Rasha, you know what's going to happen to the Tam. You have to keep the Rasha in check. The Rasha has to stay with the Chacham, not because Chas v'Shalom we want the Rasha. We want the Rasha to influence the Chacham. We want the Chacham. Someone who's a Chacham will know how to limit, to protect the Rasha from spreading his influence. If we have the Chacham and we have the Tam, and after the Tam comes the Rasha, the Rasha is unchecked. The Rasha can spread his influence to the She'eni, the Elishol, and to the Tam. No. Put the Rasha next to the Chacham. The Chacham will keep the Rasha in check, not to go and allow the Rasha to spread his influence. Now, this is something very interesting. This is a beautiful Vart. A beautiful Vart from the Satmar Rav. Very powerful Vart. Very true. Especially today. Today we live in a world where you can... Eretz Yisrael today is within reach. Now, a lot of the Torah, the Sefer, is all about... See, I'm hearing on Israel. If I would say something that says that, I would be in a lot of trouble. But he has very sharp, beautiful ideas. But he says as follows: in Eretz Yisrael, we're familiar with an expression. It's from the Gemara: Aziro de Eretz Yisrael Machkin. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you become a chacham. Person, you know, chutz the arts, you learn. You go to Eretz Yisrael, it's takatri. You go. The gold, what's going on there, the Torah that comes out of Yisrael is incredible. And not only that, you see, in the second world, the technology, what's taking place in Eretz Yisrael far surpasses the Chochmah that's coming out of other parts of the world. So what's the pshat? So if you ask the average person, say the pshat is, you can be a tibish in Chutz Liaretz. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll become a chacham. Person is not successful. Person is a shaita, a shvach cup. You'll go to Eretz Yisrael. You will be transformed into a chacham. It's not the pshat. Avira de Eretz Yisrael machke means whatever you are here, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it will intensify. It will. What do we will mean? I didn't realize how late it is. I'm sorry. I'm kidding you. Is it okay? Few more minutes? I'm really sorry. I didn't realize how late. I'll stop in 2 minutes. Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machki means the Eretz Yisrael has the koyach to intensify whatever you are. What do we mean? What is the proof? Right away, jump to the bar to illustrate this idea. In the Bavli, there are Arba Banim. What are the Arba Banim of the Bavli? The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'eni de Elisha. In the Yerushalmi, the Rambam mentions the Yerushalmi, there also are Baban, but they have different names. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tipish, and the She'eno Yodei Lishon. In the Yerushalmi, there's no Tan, there's a Tipish. What's the Pshat? Because Eretz Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin. There's a Chacham in Bavel, and there's a Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. The Chacham in Bavel is a Chacham. The Chacham in Eretz Yisrael won the Nobel Prize. Because the intensification of the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin, it's a grosser Chacham. It's not just I'm a Chacham. His Chacham has intensified. There are Rishonim throughout the world, but we all know the Rishonim, the Apikorsim, and the Rishonim in Eretz Yisrael, the intensity of Rishos in Eretz Rachman Mitzlan is that much greater than it is in Chutz Yaretz. The Asha'eni Yodei Lishon in America, And it's true, the bigger the people who know the least about Jews, who know the least about Yadus, are the people living in Eretz Yisrael. There are people, the Chilonim in Eretz Yisrael, that know less than irreligious Jews living in some far-flung corner in America. This is a fact, because that's how it is. Eretz Yisrael is a land that...
Extremism.
Exactly. And the proof is the Tan. A Tan in Chutz Li'aretz, in Bavel, when... A person is a tam. What happened? The tamimus. What is the intensification? The extreme of being a tam? A tippish. You can be a tam, but just tam. A tam, a foolish person. A tippish is an intensified version of a tam. So that's what you see. In Bavel, there's a chacham, a rosh, a tam, a she'eni le'lishol. In Eretz Yisrael, there's also the same four. But they have been intensified. They have been radicalized. The Chacham is an intense Chacham. A Rasha is a Rasha Merusha. A She'eni Le'lishol is an intense form, knows from nothing. A Tam in Chutz Li'aretz turns into a Tipish in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Sadim Rav says. Very powerful idea. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah.